Welcome in to the newest edition of the Just In Time Sports Podcast. I am your owner and host, Justin Jackson. And in this week's episode, we bring you the season six debut of the Just In Time Sports Podcast, wherever you get your podcasts. In this week's episode, we'll be talking about the NFL's wild card weekend. We'll also talk about the awards race for the regular season awards. We'll have our NFL betting segment, Jack's Pack, as we wrap up the regular season and move into the playoffs. We will have our college football playoff segment, and we will have our best for last. Now, as always, don't forget to like, rate, and subscribe to the Just In Time Sports Podcast wherever you get your podcasts. And don't forget to follow the social media handle at JTime Sports. I repeat, at JTime Sports, for all of your breaking news, coverage, and updates. Now, as always, JTS. Sit back and get ready to learn something. Yeah.
Just In Time Sports. Life is good. Life is good. Look, this is Just In Time Sports. Come and get your weekly takes. His opinion from the heart. He can never show you fake. If you winning or you losing, he gonna tell it to you straight. How we talking basketball without a Jordan Brown debate? If you got the hottest takes, you better come and make your case. If you win a couple games, he might even show you grace. JTS on every platform. We growing adaptation. Numbers going off the charts. We create the separation. Louisiana till I die is where I'm from. I can't replace it. So people minds are obtuse, but I like to be adjacent. Giving my opinion like I'm Nick Wright or I'm Jason. ESPN better watch out cause I'm coming for the spaceship. We even tweeting on Twitter, you can meet us in the spaces. Highlight clips of sports news, yeah, you gotta embrace it. We never had it easy, we just came from the pavement. I might be controversial, but I like to make my statements. This is Just In Time Sports, come and get your weekly takes. His opinion from the heart, he can never show you fake. He can never show you fake. Look, if you winning or you losing, he gon' tell it to you straight. This is Just In Time Sports. Come and get your weekly takes. Come and get it. He gon' tell it to you straight. To you straight.
Welcome into the show. Welcome into season six of the Just In Time Sports Podcast, the audio show. As you guys know, we have the YouTube show as well, which will be recorded very soon. We got a lot of exciting things coming in 2025 for the YouTube show. I spoke about it with you guys on the season five finale of the audio show of this show about the exciting things we're going to have, including guest appearances. We're going to have more creative stuff happening, some different segments, all kind of stuff. A lot of that stuff will get kicked off after football season. Of course, we are a very football dominated show during football season. Basketball is roaring. Shout out my guy Zion Williamson being back last night for my Pelicans, and then my guy LeBron with the one of the dunks of the year. He's definitely gonna be a dunk of the year candidate, posterizing Derek Lively, who was not born when LeBron James entered the NBA. So yeah, mind blown there. But absolutely a lot of stuff, fun stuff planned for you guys in season six. So happy you guys have made this show a part of your weekly sports watching repertoire. And my phone is blowing up, which means something is happening. So let me try and figure out what's going on there. Whole lot of nothing. Typical guy, just his group message. There's some stuff that could be happening as far as the Lakers Hornets game for tonight. I'm recording this Wednesday evening. You guys hear this Thursday morning. There's wildfires going on in the LA area. And it's just the NBA saying we're in communication with both teams about, you know, postponements or delays or whatever could be going on due to those wildfires. Pretty crazy situation in LA right now. But the NBA is in constant communication. My apologies, that last audio sound weird. I muted myself, so I had to do a little quick editing. New microphone, still learning it out. Had to do some quick editing to get that situated and straight. But again, pretty wild situation happening in LA with those wildfires. But anyway, but that is about all the basketball you can expect from this show. Nothing personal. I enjoy basketball. I actually love the game of basketball. I'm a huge Pelicans fan. I love LeBron and his game. Like, I'm a huge basketball fan. about all the basketball we're going to get from today's show. So if you're looking for basketball, thanks for tuning in. But let's get into business. So the NFL wildcard weekend is here. We have made it, football fans. We have made it all the way through. We have made it to wildcard weekend, and the final bracket is out. So in the AFC, you start with the Chiefs at the one seed. They're off. They took week 18 off as well. Interesting strategy. I believe I probably would have played my guys if I was in that situation. I probably would have played my guys at least a quarter because I knew for a fact I had the bye. So, or a drive, maybe. Starters play a drive on offense, starters play a drive on defense. Now, that runs the risk of two things. Number one, you end up having to probably deactivate somebody or cut somebody to make sure a third quarterback's available, right? Because technically, Mahomes couldn't then all of a sudden be your emergency quarterback. If you know what I'm saying? Number one. Number two, that also brings up the issue of now you don't deactivate Chris Jones, that's a roster spot. You don't deactivate Isaiah Pacheco, that's a roster spot. You don't deactivate Travis Kelce, that's a roster spot. So, you know, that would be the issue there if you were to do the strategy of, oh, we're going to have our 7-8 main guys play a drive and then pull them. You lose 7-8 guys total. That's special teamers. That's rotational players. You know, those guys you just don't have anymore because those guys can't all of a sudden be deactivated and then activate new guys. That'd be a cool system, but unfortunately, that's not how it works. So the Chiefs get the one seed. They won't play for 26 days between games, almost a month of football, without live snaps anyway. That's going to be a hard ask, but we're going to see how that goes. The Buffalo Bills come in as a 8.5-point favorite at the time of this recording against the Denver Broncos. Advantage, as we're going to pick the games against the spread in Jack's Pack. We're going to pick every playoff game. However, I'm not going to pick against Jack's Pack. That's dumb. This game has a very good chance of being a barn burner for the Bills. Now, for the Broncos, I don't see the Broncos being able to compete very much in this game. This was a game that I was hoping that, you know, the Broncos lost to the Chiefs because the Dolphins lost to the Jets. The Jets did their part. The Bengals did their part. The problem is the Chiefs played no one and became the second team all season to get shut out behind the Saints, who had no one due to injury, and the Chiefs, who had no one due to choice. And so the Broncos getting the playoffs, Bo Nix and Sean Payton getting the playoffs in their first year together. I would have much preferred this game be Joe Burrow going into Orchard Park. This might be a 3-point game, and you see Burrow, Chase, Brown, all the crew, one more game. Higgins, one more time. Instead, we may never see that trio again. We may never see Higgins, Burrow, and Chase take the field ever again as a trio. There was a lot of mismanagement in Cincinnati from the top on down. There were contractual numbers you could have got Chase and Higgins for last year. You could have got Chase for $25 million last year. You could have got Higgins probably for $21 million last year. And you thought both numbers, especially Higgins' numbers, was high. Now you're looking at Chase maybe at $35 million. Higgins may be at $31 or $30 million. And it's like, yeah, you could have saved yourself, you know, $20 million a year on them. And instead, you're going to cost yourself that for basically trying to outthink the room. So that's what's going on in Cincinnati. But Bo Nix and crew gets in. Now, Denver's in a position with Bo Nix. He's on a rookie contract. And I speak about the same thing with Jaden Daniels with the Commanders. You're in the playoffs as a rookie. Okay? So that means you are good-ish, at least. And the talent around you is at least solid because you're in the playoffs. So now this is an opportunity. You still got a young passer team. You still got a couple of young pieces. This is an opportunity where if you're the Denver Broncos, you go balls to the wall for the next 3 years. And you just go for it. You sign top free agents. You should look at T. Higgins. You sign top free agents. You sign defense. You go balls to the wall, try and win it, a la Seattle Seahawks or Russell Wilson. Because you have a contract, you have a quarterback who's obviously playoff level caliber quarterback making peanuts of his value. If Bo Nix was on the open market, he'd probably end up making and he's probably in that mid-level QB range. Not quite Baker's 33 a year, but I can see him at 22. 23. So by the fact you're getting him for 10, that's $13 million is available. And so that is going to be huge for the Denver Broncos. Flip over to the Buffalo Bills. You have one mission, and that's to go to Arrowhead Stadium. If you're the Bills. Well, your mission, if you're the Bills, I'm sorry, is to get to the Superdome in New Orleans. But your main thing is through the AFC is get to Arrowhead. That, I mean, that's that you should have a singular focus as the Buffalo Bills, and your only focus should be we're going to get to Arrowhead Stadium. That's all you should care about. That's all anybody inside the building should care about is getting to Arrowhead. Point blank, period. We're going to get to Arrowhead. Somehow, some way, we're going to be at Arrowhead, and the first step is beating the Broncos. Josh Allen, to me, well, we're going to talk about that in a few minutes, but Josh Allen's in the MVP race, right? He's top two. Now, like I said, I'll get into more detail in a few minutes, but he's going to be top two in the MVP race, no doubt about it. So I think that this is a game where you're going to get to that level that I think a Lamar's at right now, in which case Lamar has these regular seasons. He has all this stuff you've never heard before. He's the first quarterback to do whatever since the history, since Moses wrote the tablets. Like, it's all this amazing stuff. And then you get to the playoffs and it's to Doug. I remember the playoff game where he was booed off the field. Now, it was his rookie year or whatever, where the Chargers played seven DBs and just ended the Ravens season. He was unceremoniously booed. I remember the playoff game where he played Derrick Henry and the Titans, and Derrick Henry had more passing touchdowns than he did. So when you get to that point, which I think Josh Allen's right up against it, you're going to be compared to who you are as opposed to what you can do. So we've seen what you can do. Now we're going to compare you to that standard, not everybody else's standard. So that's a different place to be in. That's an interesting place to be in for most guys, but that's the place I think, especially if he loses this game, you're going to hear a lot from Josh Allen, the Josh Allen crusade. Speaking of Lamar Jackson, his Ravens enter as a 10-point favorite against division rival Steelers. Like I said, we'll get into the betting line of it in a few minutes. However, we were speaking about Lamar's legacy. He has a legacy of great regular seasons, the first quarterback to do something ever, the first quarterback to do something since Michael Vick, the first to do something since Sammy Ball, the first quarterback to do it since, again, Moses wrote on the stone tablets. And you get to the playoffs and he's, eh. And not just for his standards, he's, eh, everybody. And like I said, I was going to win through the games, the booed off the field against the Chargers, and most people dismiss his rookie year, that's fine. The playoff game where Derrick Henry had more passing touchdowns than he did. He's had playoff games where many people in the media, myself included, wondered if snapping him in the ball and running would just be better. He can't have that. He gets the Pittsburgh Steelers, your bloody division rival. This is not like, you know, Baltimore and Cleveland have their own sordid history, especially with the fact that the Cleveland Browns used to be the Baltimore Ravens. You know, Baltimore Ravens used to be the Cleveland Browns. You know, they got in the famous Mayflower truck video in the middle of the night. The Ravens went to the Browns went to Baltimore and became the Baltimore Ravens. And then the Browns restarted. But the history of the Browns technically should be with the Ravens. These Browns should be the newest franchise. But when they brought the team back, they brought it back as the Browns. They got all their history back, so on and so forth. So the Ravens became one of the newer franchises. But it really should be the Broncos, the Browns, this version of the Browns. But anyway, despite the Ravens and the Browns sort of history, the Ravens and the Bengals don't really have a lot of history there together, I'll be honest with you. The Ravens and the Steelers are the AFC North rival. They are just the most physical, the most decorated, the most put together. They embody the AFC North more than anybody else could possibly embody the AFC North between those two. So because of which, I don't see this game being a big blowout. All because I don't believe the Pittsburgh Steelers' pride will allow them to do it. Mike Tomlin has too much pride. He has too much. His team has too much pride. They're just too good. Now, they're having some issues with their offense. They are definitely having some issues offensively. I'm not sure what that's about, but they're not on the same page. George Pickens seems to be imploding. They just like they're not on the same page offensively, so it looks like they're having some trouble there. But the Baltimore Ravens and the Pittsburgh Steelers know each other. It's like in the Bayou Classic. Whenever Southern could be 8-2, Grambling, K can't be 2-8. And you toss the game out because it's like, nope, it's these two. Who cares? The Iron Bowl, you know, Bama could be 9, could be 11-1. Auburn could be 1-11 or 10-1 and 1-10. And they're going to come together. It's going to be a knockdown, drag out slugfest for four quarters purely because it's the Iron Bowl. And that's the kind of rivalry that the Ravens and the Steelers have. Throw the records out, throw the seating out, throw the point spread out. They're going to go to war. And it's going to be, like I said, knockdown, drag out, punch in the mouth, punch in the throat. We're going to battle kind of game. And it's going to be very interesting to see who comes out on top. And then the Texans enter as 3-point dogs at home against the Chargers. The Texans backslid a lot this season. We had CJ Stroud being in MVP talks as a rookie. We had the Texans being one of the new 8 teams in the league between D'Amico Ryans and CJ Stroud and Derek Stingley. And, you know, then they added Stephon Diggs and they go out and they add, they have Tank Dell and they go out and they add at the running back position. I can't think of they add at running back, but they go out and add these pieces. And you just think, man, the Texans about to take off. You know, they went from 10, 11 wins. They're going to go to 13, 14 off development and talent addition alone. And you don't. You regress. Now, granted, he has some injuries. Tank Dell blows his knee apart. Stephon Diggs gets injured, foul for the year. Like, you had some injuries. However, a lot of the expectations and a lot of the pressure put on the Texans organization did not come to fruition this season. And then the Chargers. Man, what a turnaround for Chargers. They had the worst coach in the NFL in Brandon Staley. Say it all the time. He had no head coaching experience at any level. I have not had the blessing and the privilege of being a head coach yet of football. Me and Brandon Staley had the same amount of NFL, had the same amount of head coaching experience. We got the NFL head coaching job. None. And the relevant coach, under the relevant employment section, he had to check nothing because he's never been a head coach of anything, not at the high school level, not at the college level, not at the pro level. And then he was handed Los Angeles Chargers. So, again, that was a crap show. And Harbaugh comes in, he cleans up the books, cleans out the old garbage, and all of a sudden, they are a playoff team. And they weren't in the same division as the Chiefs, probably a division winner. But that is all I have for the AFC. Jumping to the NFC. The NFC has their number one seed, the Detroit Lions, who put on a hell of a game in Week 18 in order to secure said number one seed. So great job by them. They put on for their city, and they did it in front of the Detroit faithful. Your two seed, Philadelphia Eagles, coming as a 4-point favorite against the Green Bay Packers. Now, this could be from a result of Jalen Hurts not practicing up until today, actually. So Jalen Hurts was a non-participant. I was even going on the knowledge that Jalen Hurts would probably be out for the season. And so, not out for the season, but out for the game. So, with that being said, they kind of changed the opinion on the game. But however, he went to practice today and practiced fully. So, that could be a huge thing for the Eagles to get Jalen Hurts back. And if you're the Packers, you kind of feel like you're reeling from injuries. Again, specifically Christian Watson. Again, as Christian Watson tore his ACL in his last game. In a game that wasn't particularly necessary. Now, it was necessary in the sense that they needed a rhythm. It was necessary in the sense that they needed to hold the playoff seed. It was necessary in the sense that you weren't the one seed or a playoff team that couldn't move. It's not, it wasn't like you're the 3 seed and the 4 seed's 2 games behind and there's 1 game left. And you're like, well, screw it. We're going to rest because we're not going to get the bye anyway. And this is a way for the team to focus on the next opponent. So, when you look at the Green Bay Packers, back to the Packers, they lost Christian Watson to a torn ACL. It was a game that was borderline meaningless, but I won't fault, obviously, Michael LaFleur for deciding to play his guys. Christian Watson's a fairly injury-prone player. And he blew his ACL along with some other damage. He had some knee destruction there for him. So it's going to be very, very interesting game to see how the Packers operate without him. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers are going to battle the Washington Commanders in Tampa in Raymond James Stadium. Tampa opening as a slim 3-point favorite. Now, that's intriguing because that's saying these teams are evenly matched. You get 3 points for home field advantage. So the fact that they were like, if it was a neutral side game, it's a pick 'em. That's a credit and a kudos to the Washington Commanders organization. Like I said, I spoke about the same thing with Denver with Bo Nix. This is their chance if you're Washington. And they're starting to make some moves. They brought in Austin Ekeler. They kept Terry McLaurin. They kind of stripped a little bit of the defense away, which is mostly the depth piece. But the Washington Commanders are in a great spot. They also, like I said about the Broncos and Bo Nix, don't be stupid. Try to execute the Russell Wilson route. Go get him weapons, which you got Scary Terry. Austin Ekeler's pretty solid, but go get him some weapons and go get a hell of a defense. You can pay for weapons, draft the defense, and they are in a position in order to really go try and win a championship in the next couple of years. And then the Rams open up as the home underdog against the Minnesota Vikings. Those Vikings who were ceremoniously, disemboweled on Sunday Night Football against the Detroit Lions, now look to get their playoff run started against the Los Angeles Rams. I'm sure the Rams are going to execute a lot of what they're going to execute a lot of what the Lions did to the Vikings in terms of sending that constant pressure, sending that heat, making Sam Darnold move from the pocket. It's going to be quite the game and quite the weekend all around for the NFL. But up next, my apologies. So let's go through a quick look of JTS's official award ceremony. If I were to have it, my MVP is coming out to person thing, Josh Allen or Lamar Jackson. I said it before, Lamar Jackson's going to be held to his own standard. His own standard is better than this, so I've got to go with Josh Allen. Number two on the list is the Steelers plus 9.5 at Ravens. What am I going to do there? I'm so sorry. I skipped all the way down to Jack's Pack. My apologies. My notes got a little jumbled there. Offensive Player of the Year race between Saquon Barkley, Ja'Marr Chase, and Derrick Henry. To me, the Offensive Player of the Year feels like a consolation prize or the non-QB Heisman. So I almost feel like the Heisman is the best QB and that the Offensive Player of the Year goes to the best non-QB Heisman. Now, what I didn't think about was that Joe Burrow would not be allowed to leave without an award. So you can always, hand him the award. But it just occurred to me that Joe Burrow is not leaving without an award. He led the league in passing. So he's going to end up with something. Is it comeback player of the year? I don't think so. However, he would have the qualifications to meet that situation. So, yeah. And then coach of the year. To me, it came down between Dan Campbell, Kevin O'Connell, and Sean McVay. We got to go Dan Campbell. When the game was on the line, he beat Kevin O'Connell. When the first seed in the division was on the line, he beat Kevin O'Connell. Rookie of the Year has to be, without a shadow of a doubt, Washington Commanders quarterback Jaden Daniels. There is literally no choice. And it's not going to be unanimous. A couple of Denver guys are going to vote for Bo Nix. You're going to have one Caleb Williams guy somewhere. You're going to end up with a couple of guys voting for, Michael. Like, one guy's going to vote Michael Penix. Right? It's not going to be unanimous. But it's going to be vast majority is going to vote Jaden Daniels. To me, he's the clear and obvious choice here. And comeback player of the year has to be Joe Burrow. He had the hand injury last year. And remember, Sam Darnold is ineligible because the AP changed the rules about honoring the spirit of the award. And coming back from being bad isn't comeback player of the year nomination. So it's coming back from a hardship or, injury or something like that. Being out of the league in general, something of that nature is what the comeback player of the year is now. But up next, we're going to shift to our NFL betting segment, Jack's Pack. Welcome into the show, and welcome back into the show, rather. Welcome to NFL betting segment, Jack's Pack, which is going to be our B block. So kind of an apologies for a long A block, my bad. But our B block, and we're going to go into our Jack's Pack, which is going to be a review of the regular season, and then coming into the playoffs. So, in the regular season, we finished with a week. We finally got our perfect week. Week 17 went 5-0. I did the show before week 15. Week 17 finished with 4-0, and then the Bengals covered that night. So, we ended up being 5-0. So, we go into week 18. I'm riding high. I'm loving the process. But what did I end up saying that night? I said, what I ended up saying when I recorded the show, I was like, hey, man, I don't necessarily love it. The reason being is because you don't know who's going to play when for what motivation. Incentives are being discussed in locker rooms. Playing time, playoff position, who's going to do what when. It's a bad week to bet, and it showed. We went 1-4. So we came off 5-0, and we went 1-4. However, we finished with a record of 49-38-3, which hits at 56%, which is the exact number we tried to hit. Remember, we said 56% or higher, you'd be a professional gambler, and a professional gambling level, and you'd be able to eat all your juices, and if you bet the units all the same, you end up being a positive. You'll be able to end up making money off your gambling. And not like making money like, oh, I bet the whole season I made $300. Like, no, you'd make a few $1,000. You bet every single bet we bet, the same unit. Let's say if you decide, hey, I'm gonna bet $100 every time, $100 every game we bet, you would have ended up being right and eating the juice and making a few $1,000s from this betting. If you did 10, you probably make a few hundred. If you did $1, some people do $1 bets. I don't know. You probably make a couple, you know, a couple hundred. But if you, you know, did $10, $20, $50 bets, you know, you made a few $1,000s this season, being at 56%. So kudos to us. Thank you guys for trusting me with the bets. Like I said, we hit at 56% this year. Last week, we finally hit the perfect 5-0 parlay. I always say that's how I want to do the bets. I always want to bet them all individual and then put one parlay together with all five. So if you did that last week, you would have made a lot of money. You did every single pick and the parlay. So kudos to us. The process is great, and I'm feeling good about our process. And we're going to go right into our Jack's Pack for the playoffs. So playoff games, you pick every single one. I'm not about to get picky. And there's six games and I pick five. Or there's four games and I pick three. We're going to pick every single playoff game and ride out the rest of the season by doing so. These games are not picked in order of how much I like them or love them. They are picked in order of when they literally come on television. So, the Chargers at the Texans. Chargers -3. Take the Chargers here. Road favorite in the playoffs. Not the most advantageous bet. However, the Chargers are a better team than the Texans. You don't believe me? Let's go through the list. Better coach. Harbaugh's better than D'Amico Ryan. Harbaugh's won rings, been to the Super Bowl. D'Amico Ryan's done neither. Better quarterback. Herbert or Stroud. Give me Herbert. Better than one receiver. Ladd McConkey's the best receiver in this game. Better tight end? Tie. Better offensive line? Tie. Better corner? Stingley's the best corner in the game, so I give you Stingley. Best DB in general? Derwin James. Best defensive line? Ooh, that might be a push. I don't expect the game to be a blowout. Of course, the playoffs. I expect the game to be a blowout. However, I do expect the Chargers to win by about a touchdown, 27-20. I think Herbert, you know, hits a touchdown about 5 minutes left. Texans don't get it in, and then they bleed the clock out and get out of Houston with a win. So I'm thinking 27-20, Chargers get the victory. So Chargers -3, take the Chargers. Steelers at Ravens. Steelers +9.5. Take the Steelers. I'm picking this purely off the, this feels disrespectful. This feels very disrespectful to the Pittsburgh Steelers organization, to Coach Mike Tomlin, and to the rivalry known as the Steelers and the Ravens. That means in order for this bet to cash, the Ravens would have to beat the Steelers by 10, by double digits. I don't see that happening. Not in the playoffs. If this is week 18, sure. Week 12 and the Steelers are just god-awful, maybe. And the two playoff-caliber Ravens-Steelers teams are going to meet in the playoffs, and their one's going to beat the other. I don't care who it is. One's going to beat the other by double digits. Nah, I ain't with it. So Steelers, plus 9.5, take the Steelers. Eagles versus the Packers. Eagles, -4, take the Eagles. Now, this number could be an absolute steal, especially if Jalen Hurts comes back. I strongly believe this number is due to the fact that Jalen Hurts is highly questionable. Now, I was telling people, hell, yesterday, maybe 2 days ago, that Hurts wasn't going to play. So then he practices. No, that was yesterday. I said Hurts wasn't going to play. So then he practiced fully today. He attends practice today. The practice Thursday is going to be vital. And then probably Saturday is going to be huge, of course, to see if he's going to clear protocol to play on Sunday. I think with Kenny Pickett, they win this game. I just think Kenny Pickett's good enough. Devontae Smith's amazing. AJ Brown's AJ Brown. And Saquon. I think they win the game anyway with Kenny Pickett. I think they win by a touchdown plus if Jalen Hurts plays. And that's what I'm counting on. I'm counting on Jalen Hurts playing and that the Eagles win it by probably 10 points over at the Pack. Especially at home, I think Saquon's going to be just too much. I think he's going to just overwhelm them. Overwhelm the Packers. Now, very curious to see if Hurts is cleared if the tush push is taken out of the playbook. He clears some custom protocol on Saturday. Do you stick his head in the middle on Sunday? Or do you wait a week? I mean, that could be a very interesting thing. It could be interesting to see how they play goal line, 4th-and-1, 3rd-and-1. 4th-and-2, 3rd-and-2 situations, because the tush push was guaranteed 2 to 3 yards, but it involved him putting his head first into almost every situation. Do you now train Saquon how to do it? You know, he catches it and drops his head. I don't know. It'd be very interesting to see how that developed, but I've got the Eagles here. -4, take the Eagles. Commanders at Bucks. Commanders +3. Take the Commanders here. This is full belief in Jaden Daniels. I told you guys I was going to drive the Jaden Daniels bandwagon until the wheels fall off. Well, we're driving on into the playoffs and going to continue doing that. +3 against the Bucks here. I truly think the Commanders are going to win this game. We get Marshawn Lattimore and Mike Evans again. We just get it in different uniforms now. So that's cool, potentially, if Lattimore's hamstring is ready to go. But we know what Jaden Daniels represents. He's not afraid of the big moments. He's played in big games. He played in the SEC. He ain't worried about a stage. When you play in the SEC, you're no longer concerned about a stage. And I just think that the Bucks may come into this game a little tight. I think the advantages the Bucks would have over a regular wild card team, they don't have over the Commanders. I think Jaden Daniels, he may not be the better pure quarterback right now, but he has the higher upside in this game as far as he can game break with his legs. I think Scary Terry and Mike Evans cancel. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's not a lot of advantages that Tampa would normally have that they would have in this game. I think Dan Quinn's actually might be a better coach than Todd Bowles. So I think Cliff Kingsbury could be a better offensive mind than Tampa's offensive coordinator. So it's just like the advantage they would normally have, they don't. So I think the Commanders win this game outright. So definitely take Commanders +3. Bills versus the Broncos. Bills -8.5. Do me a favor and take the Bills. I'm sorry, do yourself a favor and take the Bills here. They're going to absolutely destroy the Denver Broncos. Like, it's going to get bad. Like, the Buffalo Bills in Orchard Park are going to absolutely commit destruction against the Denver Broncos. Point blank, period. They're going to wreck the Broncos. 8.5 is disrespectful. The fact that they say the Denver Broncos, Bo Nix, is closer to the Bills than Russell Wilson, Mike Tomlin, and the Steelers are to the Ravens, that's blasphemous, in my opinion. That's just downright disrespectful. And I think the Ravens are going to, not the Ravens, the Bills are going to absolutely blow the Broncos off the face of planet Earth. And then lastly, Vikings at Rams. Vikings minus 1.5. Take the Vikings here. This is because I think the Vikings are going to win the game. And I've said before, it's hard to win an NFL game by less than two. It's just difficult. Like, mathematically here. Anything, to me, anything in Vegas less than 2.5 or less, you can still take the team you think is going to win, because it's really hard to win a game by less than a field goal. Like, 24-22 happened recently, but, like, it's really hard to win a game by less than a field goal in a game of threes and sevens. It's just difficult to win a game by less than a field goal. And so I think the Vikings here, you only got to give up 1.5. I think they win the game all right, and they definitely cover the spread. So take the Vikings minus 1.5 at the Rams. So to run through it again, we have the Chargers minus 3 at the Texans, the Steelers plus 9.5 at the Ravens, Eagles minus 4 versus the Packers, Commanders plus 3 at the Bucks, Bills minus 8.5 versus the Broncos, Vikings minus 1.5 at the Rams. But that is all I have in this segment. So we're ready to continue our winning ways into the playoffs. Now we're going to shift to college football playoff and talk about what's going on there. Welcome back into the show, and now we're going to talk about the college football playoff as we are nearing the round that we used to start in. So remember, we used to start in the round. Well, and the people in the 80s and 90s remember that they just named one in the national championship game. They just named the national champion. Hey, Florida, yeah, sometimes you work out with the number one team. We'll play the number two team in a bowl game. You know what I'm saying? And those, whoever wins it, national champion, right? But it was some years, it was like number one, they'll play a number six in a bowl, and then one and two would win, and the coaches would name number two the national championship, the national champion, and the AP would name somebody else. Like, it was weird in this couple years. But I did notice that in some of the bowl games, back in those times, they would try to match up. So if number one was Penn State and number two was Miami, they'd play in the Orange Bowl. Or number, you know, they'd play in the Sugar Bowl or something. Like, they would try to match them up to where they played in their bowl game to almost have a de facto national championship game without calling it officially a national championship game. That was in the 80s and 90s. Then the BCS is born in 1999, where from the rest of 1999 through current day, we have on-the-field champions. The BCS exists till about 2013, 14, memory serves me correctly. And then the BCS dies, maybe 16. Then the BCS dies and gives way to the college football playoff, the 4-team playoff, where, and it was every year in the BCS, the third team would feel robbed. Like, it was very rare. I remember the LSU-Alabama national championship game in 2011, where two teams from the same division in the same conference play in the championship game in New Orleans. It was like the most regional, sectional, like, thing ever. Like, it rated horribly on the West Coast. It was two teams that they didn't have a connection to. It was bad. It rated bad in the Northeast. But in the Southeast, oh my God, it rated through the roof. Bama wins 21-0 off six field goals or five field goals and a touchdown, some weirdness like that. They win 21-0. LSU gets dominated. They don't cross the 50-yard line to the fourth quarter. It was bad as an LSU fan, right? And this peak LSU-Alabama rivalry, the Nick Saban stuff, it was bad, right? It was rough. But that game was like the poster child for why you needed at least four teams. Well, most people went right to eight. And then they said, okay, let's settle on four. But that game was the poster child, because in a four-team playoff, 3 and 4, LSU would have played 4, Bama would have played 3. And if they win and they play, all right, it is what it is. But the fact that Bama rose from like 6-2 and didn't play in their conference championship game because LSU won their division, like, it was mind-blowing, right? So that was the poster child for the 4-team playoff, basically. The 4-team playoff happens, 5 starts to have a gripe immediately. Whoever the 5th seed starts to blow a gasket. So most people, rational, said, okay, go to 8. There's never been more than 8 teams that you would even consider winning a national championship, right? If you want, like, it's easy. The 4,
I said purely the top eight in the rankings. Don't worry about the conference championships. If you're going to do eight, don't worry about the conference championships. None of that. Whatever the top eight is, one through eight, play football. But because of the bowl system, there's six New Year's Six bowls. So you have to have six bowl games with the New Year's Six before the playoff. In order to not rotate two bowls out a year as far as playoff games and get what we got, Georgia-Clemson, remember the Orange Bowl where Georgia-Florida State, where Georgia beats Florida State 6-3-3 because Florida State's entire team gets pissed that they weren't in the four-team playoff because of Jordan Travis' injury and opt out. Everybody either opt out or went to the draft. They lost like 30 players or something like that, and Georgia mauls them because Georgia was pissed they didn't get in. So Georgia mauls Florida State like 6-3-3. Georgia uses it as, we're pissed off, we're going to destroy you. Florida State pouted. But it was in the Orange Bowl, New Year's Six Bowl. It was bad, right? And so people was like, we can't have this anymore. Fair enough. So in order to do that, in order to keep all the bowls happy, we expand to 12. This is the first year of the 12-team playoff. So officially, we are in the part that would have happened last year. But here's the thing. If it would have happened last year, none of these teams would have been in. Now, granted, that's due to this qualifying system. Last year's qualifying system, Texas, Ohio State, and Notre Dame probably are in, and then Georgia's the fourth team. No, Oregon would have been the fourth team. So who's the lowest ranked? Probably Notre Dame doesn't get in. Notre Dame probably don't get in. Texas gets in, Oregon's in, Georgia's in, probably Ohio State's in. And Notre Dame is screaming bloody murder. Right? That's how it would have gone, you know, last year. But this year, we get the 12-team playoff. So we get the teams. I disagree with how the seeding was done. Because honestly, on the video game, it was never smooth. Like on EA College Sports Football 25, it was never smooth. It was always a weird seed. It was always like the Big 12 champion who was like 7-6 or 8-4 gets their bye. And it's like, or they get to host it. It's always like a weird seed, right? But it's always used as one. This year was multiple weird seeding. You had Clemson steal the ACC from SMU. You had. So that made the ACC champion the lowest ranked champion, because Boise State was really good. Arizona State wins the Big 12. They were ranked higher than Clemson. Oregon was undefeated. Georgia wins the SEC. So those end up being the four teams that get in. Notre Dame, because they're not in the conference, can't get in because they're not a conference champion. They can't get a bye. So remember those four teams: Oregon, Georgia, Boise State, Arizona State. First round happens, we discussed it, they get to the second round. So now you're in the second round, none of the teams that had a bye went. Now, a lot of people went up in arms. Oh, because they had to wait 3 weeks to play, and oh, it's because they, you know, stuff happened in New Orleans, and, you know, the tragedy that happened in New Orleans, right? And you know, my hearts and thoughts, and it's a terror attack anywhere, but it's a Louisiana terror attack. We don't get these. These don't happen here. Usually, you know, that happens in L.A., or that'll happen in New York, or that'll happen in Florida. Usually doesn't happen in Louisiana. So, you know, weird all the way around, and schools are having moments of silence every day at 9 o'clock, and it's weirdness, right? It doesn't happen here. But back to the games itself, you know, people are in all kind of circumstance. I simply say seeding was at fault. And I said in the group message, and they jumped all over me. Like, how could seeding be at play? How could seeding be the problem? It's easy. The four best teams weren't given the top four seeds. Okay, you can make that argument with Oregon. Fine. You think Boise State was the second best team in the country? No. You think Arizona State was the third best team in the country? No. Who else lost? Georgia lost? They lost to Texas. It is what it is, right? They had the back quarterback because Carson Beck was hurt. So, Georgia injuries, Oregon getting thrashed, notwithstanding, Boise State and Arizona State shouldn't have had the byes. But guess who Boise State and Arizona State lost to? They lost to Texas. Arizona State did, who would have had a bye. And they lost to Penn State. Penn State probably wouldn't have a bye. You know the other bye team would have been? Ohio State. But they didn't get a bye either. So if you look at who should have gotten a bye, because Ohio State thrashes Oregon. So if we look at it way who should have got a bye, it should have been Oregon, Texas, Georgia, Notre Dame. So, and then Ohio State should have hosted, and Boise State should have hosted, Arizona State should have hosted. If they would have won their games, they made it to the second round, cool. But to me, your first round games would have been closer. Your second round games would have been closer. You would have at least had to earn your way into this Final Four, which they did anyway. I mean, and I don't think the rest helped, but I think who had the rest was as much more at fault in the seeding and how the teams are seeded, just as opposed to the rest. Is my argument there for the playoff of the teams with the byes going 0-4. But anyway, let's get into the games we're happening this weekend. So the Cotton Bowl between Texas, who are 5.5-point underdogs against Ohio State. Now, this line being 5.5 feels a bit big. First of all, this is basically a home game for Texas. It's the Cotton Bowl. They go every year into the literal Cotton Bowl, the same stadium, to play the Red River Shootout. It's in Dallas. It's like it's a home game for Texas, right? Like every non-school ticket is gonna go to a Texas fan. They're literally right there. So Ohio State's gonna get their allotment. Texas is gonna get their allotment. Anything in the middle, any general admission, whatever, any non-school tie ticket is gonna go to Texas. They're right there. It is going to be a whole lot of burnt orange in that stadium. It's gonna look like, oddly, the Red River Shootout. Because burnt orange is going to be on one side and scarlet's going to be on the other side. So it's going to look oddly like the Red River Shootout anyway. It's going to be a home game basically for Texas. However, there is supposed to be an Arctic blast coming through the Texas area very soon. Louisiana's going to get some of it. We've had really low temperatures recently. But Texas is going to get like an Arctic blast. The NCAA is monitoring the situation, working with both teams, potentially a reschedule. Or, you know what I'm saying, move up or move back to better accommodate, number one, not only player safety, but fan safety. People have to get to the game. And so that is what's happening there. But all, let's just say all goes well. They play the game as scheduled. No, you know, ice storm situations. I'm going to go with Texas here. And I think because of home, it's going to be basically home field advantage. It's going to be a home game without being a home game. Like, it won't count in the home game statistics, but it'll be a neutral site win. And I think truly that they're going to win this game off the home field advantage. Ohio State's riding high. Ohio State's coming in there after absolutely thrashing Oregon and getting all the revenge in the world. But Texas is also riding high. They survived Arizona State. And I think that was big for them because they had a pretty easy first round. They handled Clemson from start to finish. So going with Ohio State into the Fiesta Bowl, I call it the weird one. The Fiesta Bowl's had wild stuff happen all the time. It's the weird one. And they go in there and they survive. They were the Peach Bowl. I'm sorry. They were the Peach Bowl. Another weird one. Stuff seems to happen all the time in the Peach Bowl as well. And they go in there and they survive against Arizona State. Despite Scataboo, I mean, balling out of his life, winning MVP in a losing effort. Like, he was hooping. So shout out Texas. I think Texas gets it done, and the SEC has somebody in the championship game. And then Penn State versus Notre Dame. Now Notre Dame, I don't have their point spread up here, oddly. I'm gonna look it up real fast, but Penn State plays Notre Dame in a game where, first of all, Notre Dame is $14 million richer. Because they don't have to split their revenue share with anyone. That's the benefit of being independent. That's why Notre Dame always says F off whenever anybody potentially brings up the possibility of them joining a conference. They say, we're doing all our other sports. We're not doing it in football because of the revenue sharing process. Now, if somebody makes Notre Dame a sweetheart deal, Notre Dame is 1.5-point favorites right now. Notre Dame's 1.5-point favorites. Somebody makes Notre Dame a sweetheart deal where they don't get affected with the NBC contract and they can keep most of their money in revenue sharing and blah, 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 blah. They might. But I just don't see Notre Dame joining a conference because they have it too good. And I think they're either going to get the NCAA is going to change the rule of the automatic qualifier who gets it, which is going to help Notre Dame even more. Because now they get to make all the money in the world, and they get to get a bye in the event the NCAA changes who can get what bye when. So that's going to be huge for them. As opposed to Penn State, man, this is a team that not many people looked at in the Big Ten as being a title contender. And right now, they're standing with their Big Ten brother in Ohio State as a, it could be a all Big Ten title game. Right? And many people thought they'd be the SEC Invitational when they went to 12 team. And honestly, without automatic qualifiers, I think Bama probably sneaks in. So it may, you know what I'm saying? Who knows what could happen? But I do know that it could be an all Big Ten national championship game, which would be crazy for the Big Ten. The revenue money would be wild for the conference. And I think that that's going to be huge. I think Penn State's a really good football team. I think they're a toughest nails football team. I think I've watched them play several times this year. And honestly, not rooting for their team, but looking at it from the other thing. Like, I watched the USC game, looking at the USC players. I watched the Ohio State game, looking at the Ohio State players. And every time I turned on the Penn State game, I was left impressed with their physicality. I was left impressed with their toughness. I was left impressed with their discipline. And so that's going to be huge for Penn State. I don't think they get it done. I think Notre Dame sneaks by them in the Orange Bowl. And I do mean sneak. I'm talking about this is going to be, in my opinion, a tie game with 2 minutes left. Whoever has the ball last wins. And I just think that that's going to end up being Notre Dame. But up next, we're going to shift to our best for last, which is going to be a quick discussion on Bloody Monday. Welcome back into the show. And now we're going to talk about Bloody Monday or Black Monday or whatever else it's called, the NFL, the day where coaches get fired, right? It's a day where GMs and coaches and assistants and stuff get fired. Because what happens is a lot of times, let's say you walk off the field Sunday night. You may meet with your owner that night. Like Gerard Mayo got fired, basically, from what it was said, walking off the field. They was like, yeah, you ain't coming back. You know what I'm saying? Like, before he went to the locker room, they had fired him. So it was kind of like those decisions and choices are made prior to the last game, typically. And so they make those moves right after the game. And so that is a situation where that happened to Gerard Mayo. I'm talking about Gerard Mayo. He got fired like right after the game. That they had the press conference about him being fired like the next day. It was pretty crazy. So Gerard Mayo is fired for the New England Patriots after one season, after a 4-13 season with the Patriots. And he is fired. I think he could have had a chance at coming back for multiple years. I'm a Patriots fan, and you'll see this talk a lot more than likely on the YouTube show with IMS Productions with Jai from Hey Jai. And we're filming that tomorrow. So you're going to see a lot more of this on the YouTube show because we're both Patriots fans, so we're going to talk about it. I think he would have had a chance of coming back, and I think he would have had a real chance of coming back if, and I do mean if, he didn't have the problems with team management. It felt like the management was off. Like, it just felt like what was wrong was wrong. Like, it was awfully wrong. Like, it was just bad. So I think that he would have had a legitimate chance of coming back if he wasn't dealing with that. If he wasn't dealing with the management was just off. A lot of pre-snap penalties. A lot of stuff I felt like he could have cleaned up. A lot of stuff that I just thought, man, like, people in New England don't talk. That was like, it was like the steel, it was like the iron curtain for years. Nothing gets out. It doesn't, like, nothing leaves the building. Tom Brady talked for 20 something years in New England. You don't remember 5 words he ever said. Bill Belichick's most famous talk in New England is about when he went through the history of long snapping one day in a press conference. That's it. And on the Cincinnati. Like, that's it. And it was just players say this, players say that. They weren't going in honest. they were saying the truth. Like, they were saying it from their mouth into the camera, into the microphone. There was no anonymousness about it. They were just fed up and they were over it. And that ain't the Patriot way. But Robert Kraft had a quiet team for 20-some years. He wants his quiet team back. And so that's why I think he's going to, I think Mike Vrabel's going to end up with that job. Because there's one thing Mike Vrabel does is run a team. And so I think that he's going to end up with that job. Doug Peterson gets fired after 3 seasons with the Jacksonville Jaguars. So now Trevor Lawrence will have his third coach in 5 seasons for the Jaguars. Not saying it's Trevor Lawrence's fault, but there seems to be a commonality. So I'm sure that the owner, Shad Khan, in an interesting note, said that they're going to keep GM Trent Baalke, which probably took off a couple of high-level names for the job. However, the coach will report directly to owner Shad Khan and not to Baalke. So the coach is going to go past the executive suite into the ownership suite to report to him. So that's an interesting structure. That pretty much telling you Baalke's on thin ice. Because now I don't want my coach to think he's tied to the GM. If I'm pleased with his job, he's going to keep it, and the GM may go. If I'm Baalke, I'm nervous about what's going on there. And then positional coaches, the Cincinnati Bengals fired their defensive coordinator, Lou Anarumo. Their offensive line coach, linebacker coach, and defensive line coach. Some people are saying the DC got a bad break because you took a guy like Jesse Bates away from him for nothing. And then Dax Hill gets hurt, and you expect the defense to still be great. I say that defense is bad, horribly bad all year until like the last couple of games of the season. You had a historic offense. You didn't make the playoffs. The defense guy got to go. Seattle Seahawks have fired offensive coordinator Ryan Grubb, and the Indianapolis Colts have fired DC Gus Bradley. But that is all I have for you today. I hope you guys enjoyed the show. I hope you guys have a great rest of your week. For those of you in my Texas area, stay warm. For my Louisianians, stay warm. It's pretty cold out here these days. And make sure that you do your best to stay warm out there through this winter. We're getting a few Arctic storms around the country. And again, California with the burns, keep safe for you guys. And New Orleans, we're thinking about you and we're praying for you. But that is all I have for today. This is your host, Justin Jackson, signing out.